Hello, young lovers, whoever you are, I hope your troubles are few. All my good wishes go with you tonight. I've been in love like you. You be brave, young lovers, and follow your star. Brave and faithful and true.
I'm Michael Ray Dresser, and you're listening to thought-provoking talk on Dresser After Dark. Like you.
And I know how it feels to have wings on your heels and to fly down the street in a trance. You fly down that street on the chance that you'll meet, and you meet not by chance. Don't cry, young lovers, whatever you
do. Each night we're going to bring you the best and the brightest authors and experts with solutions, the topics you want to hear, and the people who know to bring them to you. So let's do it together. Let's get to the heart of the issues that faces every day right here, right now on Dresser After Dark, coast to coast and around the world on the BBS Radio Network.
On that street, on the chance that you'll meet, and you meet not by chance. Don't cry, young lovers, whatever you do. Say, don't cry because I'm alone. All of my memories are happy tonight. I have had a love of my own. Hallelujah! I've had a love of my own like yours. I have had a love of my own. Ah.
Cheryl Guest Williams is with us. She is the author of Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teen. That's a primer for parents. In addition to writing, she currently teaches technology and math to high school students in Mount Carmel High School, a 105-year-old Catholic institution dedicated to turning boys into men. Having had this position for the last 8 years, not only has she taught classes in male-dominated environments, she has consistently raised the school's awareness of women and African-American people throughout her classes and among her colleagues. She's also taught technology and business courses at several community colleges as well. And Cheryl, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. Trying to stay sane while raising your teen. And in the world today, that's really something that most parents have a problem with, because teenagers today are not what teenagers were 30 and 40 years ago. It's a different culture. It's a different environment. And there is this thing called responsibility and accountability that, for some reason, Cheryl, it doesn't seem to fall into the definition in their language.
No, that's absolutely correct, Michael. Nowadays, not only do you have the accountability and responsibility as issues, you also have the quickness of technology. And so things that young people are interested in today have access to today are entirely different from even 20 years ago.
I think it took me about 10 or 15 years from the time of a particular incident to understand what a man was, and, you know, turning boys into men. I remember once I was in the 11th grade and I was in love. Man, was I in love. This was the woman of my life. There would never be another one. That was about 100 years ago. And we were sitting in the car one night and she was breaking up with me because she had found, and we were in the 11th grade, she'd found an older man who was a junior in college. And she looked at me and she said, "You'll never be the man he is." First thing in my mind, Cheryl, was, "Well, I could kick his blah, 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 blah," right? And then as I grew, I began to understand what truly a man was. And a man, and it's the same definition for a woman, it's being responsible for your emotions and being responsible for your actions. And when it boils down to it, that's the core.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And I think nowadays what's happening is that you have a lot of interruptions with things like the internet and with Facebook and those kinds of things. And then you have the suggestiveness of videos and the culture is entirely different and
sure.
Very quick.
Sure.
It's very difficult.
Well, they're exposed to so many things. Yes, they're exposed to so much today. What was it? When I grew up, you know, when you went to the movies, there was a law. If there was a bedroom scene in the movies, I mean, we're talking a literal law that one foot had to be on the floor. You know, there are two separate beds. And that goes back to the Doris Day movies and so on and so forth. It's come a long way from there. And how do you tell a teenager how to live a life when they see so much of life that parents don't get exposed to?
Oh, I completely agree. Not to mention the fact that in some cases, the parents are a lot younger than when I was growing up. And so then they still, you know, as a parent, you feel you should be able to do things that are adult related. But when you do those in the same household where your kids are, then that's what the kids see and that's what they model. That's the behavior they model.
No, absolutely. There's no question about it. And now from what I'm seeing, now I'm a very spiritual person. I'm not necessarily a religious person. But what I've seen that completely makes me step back is that they're taking God out of the schools, they're taking God out of government, and every time you turn around, they're saying there's something wrong with anybody who believes in God. And that's not a great message to give to kids.
Oh, I completely agree with you on that. Not only do you really need God every step of the way, but then you also need to be able to have some of the, you know, as we say, old school kind of parenting.
Sure.
So not only did my parents watch me, but the neighbors watched me and kept up with me and told if I was doing something that they thought was inappropriate. That doesn't happen today.
No.
Parents don't have that kind of support.
No, you could get sued. I wish that was a joke, but it's not. I happen to be Jewish, and I remember going to school. We celebrated Christmas. We had Christmas trees. We did presents. We sang Christmas carols in school. This is what you did. You know what it was? It was our culture. And I think, Cheryl, the biggest problem that's going on today is the culture is being attacked. And that in and of itself stops us from being who we are and also stops parents from being able to bond and be able to deal with those kids today based on the kids' subculture.
Exactly. And so my recommendation, what I'm suggesting to parents, and not just teenage parents, although teenage years seem to be a lot more difficult to handle, but I think that if you start when your children are young and you build those cultural values, you have those events, for example, when we sit down to have dinner, there are no cell phones, there's no television. You know, and you talk as a family and you talk about issues that are going on. They have that kind of network and that's what they get used to. So by the time they're teenagers, they are prepared. Those are not new rules that you're introducing as a parent.
No, not at all. And as a matter of fact, that's a tradition that I think has gone by the wayside. I remember when I was a kid growing up, every night we sat down to dinner. We had dinner together. We talked about whatever it was there was to be talked about. And I think what's going on is the kids are pulling farther and farther away from home. Parents are beginning to lose their ability to bond with that child and to teach that child. There was a time where it was the parents' responsibility. The kids depended on the parents to be able to guide them through life. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. And there's got to be something that reverses that trend to bring it back into who we are.
Oh, I completely agree with you on that, Michael. And I think also, again, technology has kind of gotten in the way from the standpoint I've seen. I can't tell you how many times I've been out to dinner and I've seen a parent with a cell phone, either talking on the cell phone across from the dinner table with the child. Child has no interaction with the child, or the parent is texting. And I gotta say this, if you spend time with your child as a young child, then when they are teenagers, they will be more inclined to want to spend time with you.
No, absolutely. And that point of there is more to the world than we see. There's always that certain something within us and above us that when we need it, we reach out to it. And the book in and itself, I know, is God-centered, but God-centered is universal. That's for every living creature, no matter how they title themselves. You know, you could be Catholic, you could be Jewish, you could be Hindu, you could be whatever. God-centered, and what that is, it's a truth, and it's the truth that somehow we've gotten away from, and some of the kids are and some people today, they're blinded.
Oh, they definitely are, and I'm glad you brought that point up. Yes, it is God-centered, but I do believe that it is universal. You know, these are not new truths.
Sure.
You know, these are the things that your parents did, your grandparents did, and if people can, you know, remember that and not panic, then they can actually have a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the kids that when they close their mind, you know, life is all about learning lessons. And learning lessons, it doesn't end. There's no part of life that doesn't contain some kind of a lesson. And I really believe if you're alive, when you get up that morning, you're going to learn something.
Absolutely.
And to go through life thinking you know it all, that's the problem. And I think that's where they are.
Well, that's one of the things that's it's kind of humorous, but it really wasn't funny. You know, I do remember that in our culture, children were seen and not heard. And when I raised my own children, I did allow them to speak. Now, sometimes my parents thought, why are they so vocal? And, you know, they're being disrespectful. But we had a specific way that they could talk. They could say pretty much anything as long as it was respectful. No curse words or anything like that, but that gave them an opportunity to speak at home so that they would be comfortable in the world speaking and saying what they needed to say and bringing their points up. And, you know, there are a lot of different methods and messages that I think parents who are really should be the heroes in their children's lives, that's what you need to send out to your children.
Oh, sure. You know, and it's to look up to your parents. That's the way I was brought up. It sounds very much that the way you were brought up. And there's got to be that guidance from someone. And if guidance comes from outside the home, that's where the problems start. And the parents today, the parents are losing so much of that connection with their children. If you chastise your child, if you whack your kid on the butt, which is not going to be anything devastating to that child, but you could get sued for it. You could have your child taken away. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but the government is now thinking seriously about taking obese children away from their parents and putting them in foster homes. So this is a very scary time that we live in.
I think that that's absolutely ridiculous. You know, not to say that I think that there's a way to handle obesity, but
sure,
that's not the topic of our discussion. But I do agree with you. I think there's a little too much involvement outside, and there needs to be more inside discussion and grounds, you know, rule setting and that kind of thing.
But what isn't, well, actually, Cheryl, when you think about it, that is our topic of discussion. It's the relationship between the parent and the child, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I guess what I'm saying is, as far as things like diet, I certainly, you know, spoke to my children about things. If we bought groceries and they ate the things that they liked faster than others and it was gone, then they had to wait until the next week that we bought groceries again. I mean, you know, I think that there are ways to manage the household, but it's a joint effort.
Sure.
You know, I don't believe that you should have children in your house who don't understand how to do chores, because that grows them up as a, you know, that gives them responsibility again.
No, absolutely. Yeah, now, by the way, when the tagline, you know, the primer for parents, it is not a primer for kids. It is a primer for parents. And I think parents, it's too bad that we don't have classes on how to parent today, because we were taught by our parents, who were taught by their parents, who were taught by their parents. And now we live in a world that none of that works anymore. So I think books like yours are very critical right now, and the message that you're espousing is critical, and it should be out there and listened to.
Thank you so much, Michael.
No, I believe that. You know, we live in a world today where, you know, there's so much separation. There's separation there's separation of religions. There's separations of ethnicity. There's separations of gender. And my goodness, there's got to come a time where a lot of this has got to stop, and there's got to be a level playing field.
Not only is there have a level playing field, but one of the things that you said early on in our conversation, and I agree with that, is there really isn't a lot of difference between an African-American family, a Jewish family.
Nah.
I think that, you know, the values, you still want your children to grow up and be healthy and wise and successful.
Yeah.
I think everybody wants that for their children. And there is just a different way to get to that point. I think you can do that more successfully than others, and agree that the individual and telling parents that they can't parent their children in the ways that they learned are just absolutely not the way to help parents be the best that they can be.
Yeah, and by the way, I saw something interesting with when we talk about the level playing field. My sister's daughter would she be my, I guess, my great niece? Well, whatever. Yes. Anyway, she's blended. She's half Caucasian. She's half African American. And it was very interesting to watch as they moved. My niece's husband is in the service, so they moved to different places and whatever. And it was very interesting to see based on the school that, and she's, what is she, what, 13 now, I think, something like that. It was interesting to see what happened based on the school that she was in, the neighborhood the school was in, the country that she was in, how differently the child saw the world when she came home.
Really?
Yeah. It was completely different. She had a problem in one of the schools because her mom and dad were, well, my sister's daughter remarried. And because, you know, both of her parents were white. In the school that they're in now, there's a level playing field. Nobody cares about what. The school she was in before, she was kind of ousted because the parents were white. So it all depends on time and place and where you're at and the theme of the culture in that particular place. That's why I think so much that, I guess you could say it this way. I'm a former Marine. And if you were, and I've never been to combat, knock on wood. I would have went if I'd have had to, but it was too late for Korea and too early for Nam. But if I'd have had to go to combat, and if somebody was protecting my back, do you think in any way, shape, or form I would look at color? I would look at gender? Absolutely not. So we've got to get to that point whereby that's the kind of feeling and that's the kind of thought. It goes beyond that because if you get underneath the skin, you get underneath the belief systems, there's not much difference between you, I, or anybody else.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the hogwash of, not saying something to a kid on the block who may be harming himself or herself, you know, I speak out. I say something to a little kid who might be using too many
nice way to say it.
Profanity.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, them
you know,
words.
Might
yeah,
say, might say, listen, you know, yeah. Why are you talking like that?
And Richard is on line one.
And people today don't do that. They're afraid to do that.
I hear. Cheryl, we're about out of time. Do you have a website we can find you at and the book?
Yes. My website is cgwwbooks.com. And the Trying to Stay Sane While Raising Your Teen can be found on Amazon.com, as well as a couple of other online sites. And I look forward to many people buying it and talking about it as much as possible. Thank you so much for having
Wonderful.
Me.
Wonderful. Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much for being here. Good night.
Good night. There are so many fabulous